your love is kind. Your love is patient. You feel my...
So today I'm preaching on what I call the power of the cross. In 2 weeks' time, it shall be Easter, and we're in the Lenten season. And if there's a time to consider what Jesus Christ did for us, why he came at all, it is now. So we'll just take a few messages around the reason for his coming, his death, his suffering, his burial, his resurrection, and that will be it. Amen. You see, everything about Jesus was miraculous. His birth was miraculous. His ministry was miraculous. His words were powerful and miraculous. But interestingly, Jesus lived for only 33 years. Powerful, short, but impactful life. People like Abraham lived for more than 100 years. David lived for 70 years. But Jesus lived for only 33 years. And he only ministered in one place, that is Israel. He did not go around like Paul went around the whole of Europe preaching everywhere. Amen? Just ministered in that small place for 3.5 years. He was arrested, tortured, died, buried, and he rose again, and that was it. And, you know, like I was, when we were praying, I said, if Jesus did not die, all the miracles he did would have been a waste. If Jesus did not allow himself to be killed, you know, because he said, I lay down my life. No man take it from me. I'm the one who chose to lay it down. If Jesus did not allow himself to be killed and die on the cross for us, all the miracles, all the things that he did would have meant nothing. He would just have been another religious man. That is what we want to look at today. And when we are looking at his death, we want to consider, why did he die on the cross? Why the cross? Why the cross? The meaning of the cross. What is the significance of the cross? When you imagine that Jesus could have been beheaded like John the Baptist, but he was not. He could have been stoned like Stephen, right? Yes, Stephen was stoned, or killed with a sword like James, but he was not. There are many ways he could have been poisoned. He could have been strangled to death. Why did he choose the cross? There's a reason. I've discovered that God does not do anything without a reason. We might not know the reason, but there's a reason. Praise the name of the Lord. But there's a reason. There are several things that I see as the significance of the cross and the things that happened on it. The cross is a place of exchange or substitution. The cross was the place of our redemption, where we were bought and purchased from the hands of the devil. The cross is the place of our inclusion into the body of Christ. The cross is the place of our exemption. The cross was a place where we were reconciled to God, reconciliation. The cross is the place where we identified with him. When he died, we died. The cross is the place when all the evil work that the devil did against us was reversed. The place of reversal. The cross was the place of our translation. The cross was the place where we were separated from evil covenants and evil powers. And the cross is the place of our restoration, where our dominion, our authority, our position that we lost in the Garden of Eden was restored to us. Hallelujah. So today I just want us to consider the cross as a place of exchange. We will examine the cross as a place of exchange and all that we received as a result of Jesus going through the cross. What does it mean to exchange? To exchange means it means to swap, right? To replace, to... It's like when we, actually, when we, anytime we buy anything, what are we doing? We're really exchanging. Anytime you purchase anything, you give money to receive something. It's exchange. In the olden days, they would say trade by barter. they didn't have money as a means of exchange that time, but they had, maybe if you had cow, they would give you clothes or something like that. So it's exchange. Can I say this? The world that we live in runs on exchange. The world that we live in runs on this principle of exchange. You give and you receive. Amen. You give to receive. That's why they call it the law of demand and supply. You cannot just be receiving and be receiving and be receiving, or giving and giving and giving. No, as you give, you must receive. Praise the name of the Lord. That is to say, nothing is actually free. Hello? Nothing is actually free. Even though it might look free. Yeah? When you look at the small letters, remember when you buy anything, they will now write some things in tiny, 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 tiny letters. Eh? They will say, sign here, you sign. You didn't really read it. It's the day you want to take them to court. They will now bring out those things and say, this is the agreement. Praise the name of the Lord. Nothing is free. Salvation that we say is free to us, but Jesus paid for it. Hallelujah. Exchange. We're looking at exchange of the cross. A great exchange. That is the cross. A great exchange. A great exchange. If you notice something about the cross and Jesus' suffering, you realize that all the problems of man began with Adam in the Garden of Eden. Do you realize that before Jesus also went to the cross, he had to negotiate that what he was going to do for us in the Garden of Gethsemane? Do you see one garden? 2,000 years later, Jesus was in another garden. There, the devil was saying, don't go. Even he was tempted, he was begging God, please, is it possible for me not to go for this thing? Even though we did not see the devil there, the devil was there. Remember, how many of us remember when we were watching the Passion? Did you remember that there was a snake in that garden? That scenario when Jesus was being tempted not to go to the cross, he was negotiating. The devil was telling him, do not go. There was a temptation in the Garden of Eden, but Jesus overcame the temptation in the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you remember that it was a tree that God said, Adam and Eve, do not eat of this tree. Now, Jesus also solved our problem. Where? On another tree. The cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. So what did Jesus suffer? If you can remember, can we remember how he was beaten? How he was battered? How he was whipped, how he was flogged. Can we remember those things? Yes. His face was horrible to look at. He was so disfigured, making us to see that that cross that he went through was a very agonizing and excruciating death. They stripped him naked and nailed him to the cross. Now, why did God allow that? Let's look at 1 Peter 2:24. Like I said, we cannot project those scriptures, but just manage for now. 1 Peter 2:24. His own self bore our sins where? Aha. Where did he bear the sins? On the tree. He took our sins in his own body. Where? When he was on that cross. Okay. 1 Peter 3:18.
For Christ also has once suffered for sins.
He suffered. Why did he do all that suffering?
For our sin.
Finally, can you help us to go to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5? Surely, he has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5.
But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our
iniquities.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him.
And with his stripes we are healed. He was wounded for our transgressions, our iniquities. And last week, Pastor was preaching on sin. And he showed us the various different ways that Bible talks about sin in the Bible. It can be called transgression, sin, iniquity, trespasses, wickedness, unrighteousness, uncleanliness. Yes. So all those words, they mean, well, they are not exactly the same, but if we can wrap it up as sin, praise the name of the Lord. So when Jesus died, he died in my place. He took the punishment, he took all that beating and woundedness, and you know, that he took was because of sin. Hallelujah. What does it show us about sin? One, God will not be appeased with silver and gold before our sin, right? God was not appeased with the blood, with the rams and goats and sheep to pay for our sin. The only payment that God would accept is the blood of his son, is the suffering of his son. And see the kind of suffering that Jesus suffered to pay for our sin. What does this tell us about sin? He's saying something. It shows that sin is not a small thing. Sin is expensive. Sin is costly. We laugh at sin. We do as if it doesn't matter. It matters. It costs God everything he had. Amen. Sin carries penalty. It has consequences. It's very, very costly. The payment is not cheap. Hallelujah. The Bible says, all our sins were laid on him. The iniquity, verse 6. The iniquity of us all. That is to say, all the sins of mankind from the time of Adam till forever. Even the child that will be born tomorrow, the sin that he will sin, Jesus has already paid. Can you imagine carrying the sin, the weight of the sin of the whole world on one man? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He paid for the sin of masturbation. He paid for it. He paid for addiction. He paid for telling of lies. He paid for it. Stealing, he paid for it. Armed robbery, he paid for it. Kidnapping, he paid for it. The secret sin in our hearts, he paid for it. He paid. He paid for it. That is one reason. That is what we see on the cross. The Bible says, by that singular sacrifice, he brought eternal redemption for us all. Eternal redemption. By that singular sacrifice. And that was why when he died on that cross, he said, it is finished. It was when, you remember, the Bible says that the soul that sinned shall, the wages of sin is. So when he died, he said, it is finished. He has died. The death you are supposed to die, what did he do? He died it. That's why he said it is finished. He died. So on the cross, the first exchange I see is this exchange of sin. Jesus, the debt, your debt, Jesus took it. My debt, Jesus took it. 2 Corinthians, help me to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He says, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He made him to be sin for us. So on the cross, Jesus became sin. And then we became righteous. Therefore, your righteousness, my righteousness, is not because you pay your tithe. Hello? Your righteousness, my righteousness, is not based because you are praying. It's not because you help the poor. Today, people are saying, they should help the poor. There's nothing wrong in helping the poor, but you do not get accepted before God because you help the poor. Mm-mm. The Bible says in Isaiah 64, he said, all our good works, they are like filthy rags. There's no good work. There's nothing good in man. There's no good work that you can do that can pay for what you have done. It's not possible. The only thing that Jesus will accept is just the work of Christ, his son. I pray is a good thing, but that is not what saves you. I fast is a good thing. That's not what saves you. I pay my tithe, I give good offering, I evangelize, I do all that. They are good. But that is not what saves you. What saves you is the faith in the finished work of Christ. Have you believed in what Jesus did for you? Do you believe? Did you accept it? Did you accept the suffering he suffered for you? Did you accept the death he died for you? Did you accept that he did it for you? That is what saves you. That's what makes you and I righteous before God. Praise the name of the Lord. I said, praise the name of the Lord. Another exchange. We remember when they were beating him. They beat him. And we remember the stripes that they used to beat him. They would drag his flesh. In fact, by the time they had finished beating him, all his flesh was on the ground. Can we remember that film? Yes. What was Jesus paying for that in that scenario? Eh? Our health, God bless you. Isaiah 53, verse 5. And he says, and with his stripes, as they were beating him, what is that? He was paying for your healing. That diabetes, he paid for it. That hypertension, blood pressure, he paid for it. Typhoid, he paid for it. Cancer, he paid for it. Malaria, he paid for it. Say, he himself, he took our infirmities. He himself, he paid for it. That is to say, if Jesus has paid for your sickness and my sickness, does sickness have any right to be in our body? This is where spiritual warfare comes in. When sickness is in our body, it is illegal. Mm-hmm. Hello, Pastor. If you paid for a, let's say, for example, you paid for a phone. You brought the receipt and said, Mama, I'm sorry. I was in a hurry and this is the receipt. Please, take it to that shop. They will give you this phone. Right? And I go to the shop and I present the receipt. Are they not supposed to give me the phone? If they do not give me the phone, what should I do? Eh? What will the person who paid for it do? You have to fight, right? You have to fight because your money has gone. Many of us, this is where we tell you, pray. Because even though he has paid for it, the devil will hold on to it. Hello. That's why Jesus said, resist the devil and he will flee. This is where spiritual warfare comes in. Resist it, he will flee. Say, if he has paid, then why am I still sick? That is the issue. Because why? The devil is the god of this world. The devil is the god of this world. He's the one in charge. We are ambassadors in this world. Yeah, if I'm an ambassador in where now? In Spain. Can I be calling the shots in Spain? No. Is it not true? Can I be calling the shots in Spain? No. Even though I'm an ambassador, I have some limitations. The king of Spain or the prime minister of Spain is the one that does what? That calls the shots. We are ambassadors here. The devil is the god of this world. This is why you and I need to fight. Praise the name of the Lord. So that everything that Jesus paid for, you must collect by force in the name of Jesus. I want you to lift up your hands. I don't know whether you are sick. Is it arthritis? Whether you are sick in your body, you have hypertension, you have diabetes, you have malaria, you are having headache even as I'm preaching, your stomach is rumbling, you are bleeding, or any kind of sickness in your body. You open your mouth and say, in the name of Jesus, by the authority that is in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you this sickness. I rebuke you this sickness. Jesus has paid for me. Therefore, you, this sickness, you are not permitted to remain in my body. Open your mouth and pray. Mare kata kata. Any affliction whatsoever, say, I rebuke you. You are resisting the devil. I rebuke you in my body. Jesus has paid. You don't have a right. Jesus has paid. You don't have a right. He said, he himself, he took our infirmities. And he bore our sicknesses. Open your mouth and I say, I resist you. Satan, I resist you. Lay your hands off my body. Lay your hands off my body. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Get your hands off my body. Jesus has paid for my body. I decree that I am healed. I declare that I am healed. Open your mouth and pray. Any affliction whatsoever. Whatever the sickness, that is the word of God. It's not that Jesus is just trying to heal you. He has already paid. Jesus paid for your healing. He paid for your divine health. Amen. I prayed when I was preparing this. I said, God, I want to live in divine health. That's what I challenged God with. I said, I want to live in divine health. Have you not heard of people that will give testimony? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. For the past 23 years, I've not even taken Panadol. I say, hey, have we heard it? That is divine health. That should be our aim. Amen. Yes. He said, the inhabitants of that land will not say, I am sick. The Bible says that they put a crown of thorns on his head on the cross. Abby, we saw it. Put a crown of thorns on his head. Why? Remember when Adam and Eve sinned? Even before they sinned, you remember that God, they were clothed in the glory of God. Somewhere in the book of Psalms, it says that you have crowned man with glory and honor. Marekaye. But when Adam and Eve sinned, what did God say? God caused the ground and said, Adam, this ground will produce thorns and thistles for you. You will sweat before you eat. So when you are sweating to eat, you are not living in Christ. Forget it, whether you say you are born again. Look at your life. Are you sweating to eat? You will sweat to eat. So where is your salvation? Hello? You are living in Genesis chapter 3. That's the truth. If we are sweating to eat. That was why when Jesus on the cross, they placed that crown of thorns. They placed it on the head of Jesus. So that the crown of glory that Jesus brought into the world, they can put it on my head. So that I will stop laboring under a curse. I can sleep and I will be making money. Yes. When you are laboring and struggling to eat and struggling, you run here, you run there, you are not living you the best life. This is why you must take some things by force. And this is why I said, I prayed, I said, God, may God grant you revelation. Because revelation will give, bring your manifestation. Revelation will open your eyes. You say, eh? So this is what I have been suffering. No more, no more. You will rise up with anger. And you will take what belongs to you. Hallelujah. So it was on that cross Jesus took our poverty. He said, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when he even though he was poor, what did that? He made us rich. That through his own poverty, we became rich. Where that happened when they put the crown of thorns on his head. You can see the power of the cross. That happened when they put the crown. Lift up your hand again and say, God, I reject poverty. If you are born again, no. If you are not born again, no problem. You can continue laboring. Say, but if you are born again, say, I reject poverty. I refuse to be poor. Jesus has paid for my poverty 2,000 years ago. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not a poor man. I'm not a poor woman. I reject it. I reject it. I refuse it. Your word says you give me power to make wealth. Rakotole kasakatakata. Every poverty I am experiencing is illegal. Every poverty I am experiencing is illegal. It is illegal. It is illegal. It is illegal. Lack is illegal. I don't have job. It is illegal. I cannot eat. It's not supposed to be. Everything is not working. It's not supposed to be. Resist the devil, my brother, my sister. This is why there's spiritual warfare. Rakotalaba. Resist the devil. Ragela gayagade. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. On the cross. Remember when the Bible says that before he went to the cross, they put a robe of one purple robe. They were beating him, laughing at him. Then when they were taking him to the cross, they nakeded him. All that one that you see that on we see picture that they put loincloth. They don't do that in that time. It's pure naked. Nakedness is a sign of shame. If you see yourself naked in the dream, it's shame, disgrace, ridicule, mockery. He took your shame, he took my shame. Anything that makes you ashamed, he took it. You see, because you are not married, they say you are feeling ashamed. Jesus has taken it too. So that you can marry. And that shame. Jesus has wiped away your shame. So anything that the devil has put on you and say, see, and people are laughing at you, and people are mocking you. Don't just take some things like that. There are times you will sit down with God in your room and say, let us talk. Satan, come here. All you demons, all of you gather. We need to talk. It's like when, yes, we need to talk. When you go to court, is it not talk? Lawyer, defense will produce his own. Prosecution too will produce their own. Then they will be arguing it back and forth, back and forth. And the ones who knows how to argue with. You can have a good case and lose a case, Abi. Yes, no? Technical, you can lose on technical ground if you don't. It's the same thing that is happening today. Many Christians are losing on technical ground. Jesus has paid, but we are losing on technical ground. Because we do. Yes. Do you even know that he has paid? If many of you, I say, come and pray, and I say, God, you'll be crying. Crying is not the argument in the court of heaven. God is not moved by your tears. He's moved by his word. You must know what you are doing, brother. This is why we are going back to preaching these basic things. Praise the name of the Lord. I say, praise the name of the Lord. Anything that makes you ashamed, I don't have more. You know, to ask people to please give me, we have not eaten for 5 days. It's not easy. Oh. Is it easy? God, it's not part of you. Say, I reject. Do like this. Do. Ha. I reject it. There are some things you must take with all boldness. Amen. with fire. Don't just be casual about some things. There are things you cannot be afford to be casual about. The devil will just make a mess of you. Praise the name of the Lord. You must be violent. The violent does what? They take it by force. On that cross, Jesus, the Bible says he took our curse. Remember? It's a curse is every man that hangs on the tree. So that what? The blessing of Abraham might come on you and come on me. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has redeemed us. Cause whatever the cause, ancestral new, family new, trade relation, whatever, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He became so that Abraham was a blessed man. Today we say Abraham's blessings are mine. Uh-huh. So that the blessing of Abraham can come on you and come on me. Oh, Marigale, lift up your hand again and say, Lord Jesus, I believe your word. I believe that the blessing of Abraham is mine. I'm redeemed from every kind of curse. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. But open your mouth and pray. Say it. Say, Christ has redeemed us. He has redeemed me from the curses of the law. He has redeemed me. He has redeemed me. He has redeemed me. All ancestral curse, the family curse, curse in my family. Just begin to mention it. Christ has redeemed me. Christ has redeemed me. Christ has redeemed me. The Bible says that they nailed his hands. Why? To bless the work of our hands. Remember, God caused the work of his hands. Even the work of your hand. It's true. They nailed his feet. Why? So, do you know feet is the place of your dominion? Every place where the sole of your feet shall tread, I have given it to you. So that you can have dominion. Your dominion can be restored. Your position restored. Authority restored. Oh, you remember when we were watching the film, they put his legs together and they were nailing it to that tree. That is the power of the cross. That is the power of the cross. That is the place of, when I say the cross is the place of restoration, the place of recovery, the place of restoration. Let's be up on our feet. We are going to pray this morning. Masseria Gale. Thank you, Lord. Begin to thank the Lord. Begin to thank him. There are many things I did not say. I can't say because of time. But just thank him for these ones that you have heard. If this is not, another time we'll be saying the rest. Open your mouth and begin to say, thank you, Jesus. Say once again, Lord, give me a revelation of the cross. There's so many things that cross did for us. On that cross, you remember that's the place where he was rejected. All his friends, everybody ran away. The Bible says on that cross, even the father turned away from him. And he cried, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? God turned away from him so that he can turn towards us. Oh my God, Maregede, begin to thank the Lord. That is why you and I, today we can pray, we can be saved, we can claim, we can stand, we can open your mouth and thank the Lord.